Here's a different phone number to keep handy and one that should be pretty easy to remember. It's the number at the Oregon Poison Center, based at Oregon Health and Science University in Portland, 800-222-1222. It's also available online at poisonhelp.org. The Poison Center reports an uptick in activity lately related to the antiparasitic drug ivermectin. As you have heard and probably heard a lot, it's being touted by some people as therapy for COVID-19, while the Food and Drug Administration warns people not to use it for that reason. Dr. Rob Hendrickson is medical director at the Oregon Poison Center and an emergency medicine physician at OHSU and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Dr. Hendrickson, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. First, let's talk about the usual job of the Oregon Poison Center and what the run of the activity is usually.
Absolutely. So the Poison Center is there for people to call with questions about medications, particularly with medication interactions, or if someone was to, say, accidentally take too many of their medicine or a variety of other things. In fact, we take care of patients who are envenomated by snakes and or also eat things like mushrooms or herbal products or supplements. So really any question that you have about something that you've ingested that or someone else has ingested that you think may be harmful, we have the answers for you. And the people who are answering the phone are pharmacists and nurses, and we have physicians on call to answer any question you might have.
All right. So not the kind of place you want to call if you're feeling ill effects right now. You got a question. This is the time to call the Oregon Poison Center. But if it's something that's affecting you now, is that a better 911 call?
So we encourage you to call our number. If you are having an emergency, then certainly please call 911. There are cases when someone might have some mild symptoms that we might, for example, figure out that's all you're going to get, and it's okay to stay home. And then we would call you back to check in on you in a half an hour, 2 hours. So there are situations like that if you're having some mild symptoms that we might say it's okay, you don't have to go to an ER. But certainly if there's an emergency, you can call 911. If there is, if we think that you're having an emergency or have a situation where 911 should be involved, we will also call 911 for you. So.
Okay. Otherwise, it is 800-222-1222. Nicely symmetrical number. I have to compliment
you.
Yeah. Palindromic number, in fact.
Indeed.
800-222-1222. And what, Dr. Hendrickson, is the usual split on accidental poisoning versus, I took this for a reason, but I might have taken too much?
You know, we get a very big variety of calls. The majority of the calls that we get are actually children getting into adults' medications. But we do get a lot of calls about, we all make mistakes, and sometimes we give medicine to the wrong child or to the wrong dose, or sometimes we take a medicine and then forget we took it and take it again. And those are great cases to call us. There are some medications that's going to be okay and some medications that is not okay. And our nurses and pharmacists have that information available for you. So any question in that regard, please call the Poison Center. That's what we're there for.
All right. And we're talking to Dr. Rob Hendrickson from the Oregon Poison Center here on the Jefferson Exchange. And you can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone. And you can also send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Before we get to ivermectin, can you give a recent history on people taking things they think will help with a medical condition? I mean, is it something that you get as a regular run of events?
Well, certainly, with COVID in the last 2 years, it's been very frustrating because we don't have a good treatment that people can take or to either treat or prevent COVID. We have seen people trying things, and I certainly encourage people to not try a medication or try supplements unless they are proven effective. And at this point, we really don't have anything that you can take at home that will prevent or to treat COVID. And I recognize how frustrating that is because, certainly the people who get COVID, it's very, it can be painful. It can be make you feel absolutely miserable. And I absolutely understand the temptation to try to take something to see if it'll help. But in some cases, the thing that you're trying to see if it'll help also has a lot of potential toxicities and can hurt you. And so while it's frustrating for healthcare workers, it's frustrating for patients, and it's frustrating for citizens that we don't have a good treatment yet. I encourage people to not, you know, try medications or supplements for COVID specifically.
So what's the general volume of calls through the pandemic? I would think that you'd have the downward pressure of less activity, but also the upward pressure of people looking for remedies for COVID.
So there has been, you know, our call volume, our case volume has remained somewhat stable. You know, and there's a lot of pressures, you know, one way or the other. But, you know, the truth is that no matter what the situation, no matter what's going on in the world, a lot of us are on medications and a lot of us have things around the house that could potentially be harmful. So, you know, we continue to get calls, and we haven't really seen much of a change in our volume over the pandemic.
Oregon Poison Center, 800-222-1222. 800-222-1222. That's their number. I'll invite you in a minute to get into this conversation with Dr. Rob Hendrickson. To the specifics with ivermectin, I noticed you had, what, three calls all of last year?
That's correct. You know, ivermectin is not really a medication that is prescribed very often in Oregon and in the United States. So we don't see a lot of medication interactions simply because the amount of prescriptions out there are not very many. So just three calls last year for, you know, misuse or toxicity from ivermectin. That has certainly increased, and particularly in August of this year. We have now seen 21 cases of misuse of ivermectin with in just the month of August, and that has continued. And that really is what led us to want to sort of alert the public that you know that although people are touting it as a treatment, there are toxicities, and people are getting sick from taking ivermectin. So just to really to be careful.
All right. There are human and livestock versions of the drug. Which are sending people to contact the Poison Center?
Most of the cases that we have seen have been veterinary products. So ivermectin it's FDA approved for a few conditions that are relatively rare in this area. So there's treatment of pills, the capsules that are for intestinal parasites, and also topical for a skin condition called rosacea. But those are pretty uncommon indications for prescribing ivermectin. Most of the calls, what we're seeing now, the concern that we're having is people using veterinary products on themselves, so on humans. But we have actually seen a few cases where people have gotten sick after getting a prescription from their physician or a prescription from a veterinarian. So that is concerning as well.
What kinds of things can happen to people who go off-label with ivermectin?
Yeah, so ivermectin is an unusual medication in that, one, it's the dosing for different conditions is very different. Physicians aren't particularly used to prescribing the medication, but I think the thing that is concerning to us is that a somewhat small change in the dose can lead to significant symptoms. And so if you have mild toxicity from ivermectin, it would be mostly diarrhea and vomiting, which can be quite severe. And then the more severe side effects are confusion, low blood pressure, and seizures.
Yikes. Okay. A couple of things there to really watch out for. We're talking to Dr. Rob Hendrickson, the medical director of the Oregon Poison Center at OHSU in Portland. He's also an emergency medicine physician there. You can join our conversation here on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Ann and Eugene waiting patiently on the phone. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. I know you don't usually take controversial comments, but my controversial comment is, for the last 40 years, Republican politicians have done everything they can think of to defund public education. And to me, the direct result of that is people eating horse wormer. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne. Appreciate that. So correlate that to your own work, if you would, Rob. I mean, are you getting more cases of things that, that people perhaps in years past wouldn't have thought of taking?
Well, certainly, certainly related to COVID, as I was mentioning before, I think there's a lot of factors that play into it, but there have been, including the frustration that there isn't a well-defined treatment for COVID. So yes, we have seen people using things in the past. You know, now it's ivermectin, but in the past it's been hydroxychloroquine, colloidal silver, a variety of vitamins, and hydrogen peroxide as well. So we have seen people who are trying things to either prevent COVID or to treat COVID once they get symptoms. And that type of use is concerning because, you know, those things can have toxicities, and it's really important to, you know, when something is doesn't work, taking the risk of the adverse effects or the toxicity isn't really worth it ever. And so, you know, the list of things that have been tried for COVID is pretty long. But at this point, most of these have been fairly well studied, and they just don't work. So my encourage, you know, the way I look at it is I would encourage people to not try any of these medications or these over-the-counter supplements because, you know, they simply don't work, but they also can have significant consequences if we misuse them or either by error or just because it's difficult to figure out what a correct dose would be for some of these supplements and medications.
You mentioned hydroxychloroquine and colloidal silver, particularly with hydroxychloroquine. Did you get a bump up similar to what you got with ivermectin, or is ivermectin head and shoulders above that?
We have seen a few cases of hydroxychloroquine. The reason why you know, we wanted to alert the public was because of the amount of ivermectin toxicity that we're seeing was a very large increase from previous, and so that's our main concern right now. But I should say hydroxychloroquine I would put it in a similar group. It's not effective for preventing or treating COVID. And is a medication that can lead to very significant toxicity at doses that are not that much higher than you would take normally therapeutically for another condition. So it's another medication I really strongly ask that people don't take for COVID.
So how does it work? It's not since it's an anti-parasite, so it basically is meant to go after worms and things. This is a bit stronger than an antibiotic, I would think.
Yeah, it's an interesting. So how this has developed is sort of an interesting story. Initially, when COVID started, the pandemic started, people were looking for things that were already FDA approved that we could use as a treatment for COVID, because it kind of eliminates the whole process of getting FDA approval, which can take quite a long time. In ivermectin. There was some evidence with other viruses that it might inhibit their entry into cells and things like that. And so some early cell studies suggested that ivermectin could prevent the SARS-CoV-2 virus from getting into cells. And obviously that was very encouraging. That was followed up by a few small exploratory studies, which is sort of the tradition in science. And one of those studies suggested that people who took it was a small study, but people who took larger doses of ivermectin could clear the virus quicker than people who took lower doses or none at all, which, as you can imagine, was very encouraging and very exciting for researchers. Unfortunately, that was followed up, or fortunately was followed up with several very well-designed studies, and despite the earlier clearance of the virus, there doesn't seem to be any change in the amount of time people feel symptoms, the amount of or the percentage of people who get admitted to the hospital, who need a ventilator, who survive or die. So no clinically meaningful outcomes at all, despite this evidence that it may allow the virus to clear quicker.
Dr. Rob Hendrickson, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the medical director at the Oregon Poison Center and an emergency room physician at OHSU in Portland, which is the home for the Oregon Poison Center. And I can let you know again, the Poison Center, if you ever need to call it, 800-222-1222 or poisonhelp.org. Rob, is there an educational component here? I mean, you're certainly dealing with people who are having some problems or think they might be having some problems. So you're trying to get them stabilized well and all that stuff. But is there much in the way of follow-up, educational component to say, hey, this is what you should take and this is what you should not?
As far as a specific patient that a specific case that we have,
In general, I mean, is it a piece of what you do at the Oregon Poison Center?
Absolutely, yeah. We have outreach and education, and I think you know this is sort of part of it, right? When we see something that is concerning to us, we do our best to alert the public and explain, you know, specifically what is the concern that we have. And this is certainly, you know, ivermectin use for COVID is certainly fits in that category. This is something that, you know, is easy to misdose, particularly, I think, when using the veterinary products, that is very easy to have the wrong dose and very easy to lead to pretty significant toxicity.
So have you found any correlation between people who are willing to take ivermectin and people who and their vaccination status?
Yeah, we don't ask vaccination mm-hmm. status generally in the when a healthcare worker or a community member calls the Poison Center, so I can't really answer that.
Okay.
What I can say is that the ivermectin cases we've seen have been throughout the state. And I think that this is certainly a message that I would like to try to get to everyone. And, you know, the reason is because I think, you know, COVID is, I think a lot of people are concerned about COVID and a lot of people are scared and want to prevent it. And if they get symptoms, they want to treat it. But unfortunately, we don't have a good treatment. The only prevention the only thing we can do is prevent the virus from getting, you know, from getting infected. So vaccination, you know, masking are inappropriate situations and physical distancing. I recognize how frustrating that is for everyone. I'm frustrated as well. But that's all we have. We don't have an effective treatment. And the moment we do, I think everyone will celebrate. But
indeed. All right. Dr. Rob Hendrickson, Oregon Poison Center and OHSU, thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange.